Good morning, church. This morning's scripture reading is taken from New Testament, Romans chapter 8, verses 10 to 14. For those of you who have the small print Bible, you may turn to page 1133, and for the big print Bible, is found in page 1717. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 to 14. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives the life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Now listen to the gospel according to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31. When Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come. Follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He ran away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his word. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed. Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. We have given everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, No one will give up home, brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Home, children, mother, fields, and along with it, persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Dear loving God and Heavenly Father, who imparts salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, who call us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily to follow you, we humbly commit this time into your hands, and may the word of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." An eye of a needle? A camel? When I was young, I used to help my mom in her sewing to pull a thread to a needle. And believe me, it wasn't easy. And back then, with my near perfect 6'6 eyesight, I struggled. And when the thread was so wet with my saliva, my mom gave up and said, "Abenga, let me do it lah." Yes, Jesus reckoned that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I did some research. An adult camel weighs around 400 to 600 kg. Stands at 2 meters. And for it to go through the eye of a needle, it's difficult, near impossible, but Jesus said it is easier than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. No wonder the disciples were amazed and asked, "Who then can be saved?" These comments were the result of a meeting between Jesus and an unnamed man, recorded in all three synoptic gospels. Mark says he was a man with great wealth. Luke says that he was a ruler. Matthew said that he was a young man. So consolidating the three gospel accounts, we can conclude that this man is a rich, young ruler. Rich, young, morally upright. I think we can perceive that this man is a dream boyfriend for every girl and a future son-in-law for all mother who wants their daughter to have. Even the gospel writer Mark commented that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Probably because of his earnestness in keeping the law and his sure determination to come to Jesus to look for question in eternal life. And as far as I know, it is one of the only instances in the gospel where Jesus was described as loving someone. Not only did this man meet Jesus, he was called by Jesus. Jesus invites him to be his disciples, and he says, come and follow me. But when Jesus told the man what he must do and what it costs to be his disciples, the Bible tells us that the rich young ruler was dismayed and turned and walked away, grieving, feeling sad because he had great wealth. It must have been a heartbreaking scene for all the disciples standing around witnessing this encounter, more so for the man and Jesus as well. Jesus loved him, but he walked away. Here again is the only account in the gospel in which Jesus directly asked someone to follow him, only for him to walk away. The man refused to follow Jesus. What led the man to turn away sorrowfully and miss the wonderful opportunity to have Jesus loved him? What stopped him from following Jesus? What did Jesus challenge him to do that he could not fulfill? After all, this man declared that he has conscientiously kept all the commandments that Jesus has pointed out to him. Jesus said, one thing you lack. If I was listening into the conversations between them, I would ask the Lord, are you kidding, Lord? What this fellow lack? By materialistic standard, by society standard, and by the measure the world determines the criteria for abundance and blessing, this rich young ruler lacks nothing. Nothing at all. The disciple must have noticed this energetic man running to Jesus and falling on the knees before the master and greeting him, good teacher. And they must have envied the rich man's nice clothing, sandals, and marvel at what he has achieved so far in his life, having never once broken the law since he was a boy. Yes, by all standard, morally or materialistic, acquisition or accomplishment, this man excelled. He lacks nothing, nothing at all. But the strange thing is that all the wealth and possessions that he has amassed, the high moral standard that he set for himself, this rich man is my thinking, what else must I do to inherit eternal life? Dressed in his beautiful clothes and surrounded by wealth and power, the young ruler knew something was missing. He came running to Jesus for answers in life. The rich young ruler must have felt miserable. All the money the world cannot buy him happiness, peace of mind, or assurance of salvation. All the devout keeping of the law cannot guarantee him the quality of spiritual life that satisfies. But what made him utterly disappointed and walked away sorrowfully was what Jesus commanded him to do in verse 21. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. There's something about wealth that have a way of taking away our hearts and our lives. Wealth does something to us, and that something is usually not viewed as having a positive effect. The parable of the sower said that the seed that was sown among the thorns heard the word, but the worry of life, the deceitfulness, the lure of riches, of wealth, and the desire of other things came in and choked the word and make it unfruitful. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or wealth, or mammon. Is it true that wealth, possessions are obstacle in attaining eternal life? But the rich ruler came and asked. He may have perceived that the great wealth and the possessions that he has gotten as blessings of God for his obedience. And if this were visible and tangible testimony of God's blessing on his life, why should he give away to the poor who may have deserved their poverty because of their disobedience? They are poor because they are lazy. But regardless of the reason and rationale the rich man may have come up with, it was clear that he was incredibly attached to his wealth and possession that he find it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to give up. His riches, his money, has a stranglehold on him that he was chained, bound, unable to free himself of the materialistic grip of his wealth. The rich man has only one straight choice. Riches or the kingdom of God. But before we cast the stone and condemn the rich man for his love and attachment to his wealth and money, let us examine ourselves and our possessions. What was once deemed as luxury 10, 20 years ago has become a necessity in our lives. Take, for example, the air condition in our rooms, our house. Back then, not all the houses have air conditioner. Nowadays, most of the house have air conditioning in the rooms and even the living room as well. And it's become a necessity rather than a luxury when some of us can't sleep without the aircon being turned on. Believe it or not, like it or not, we get incredibly attached to our stuff. And sometimes we are even proud of our possessions and find it impossible to part with them. For the gentleman in our midst, maybe your house, your car, your home entertainment system, your country club membership. For the ladies, maybe your handbags, your accessories, the wardrobe in your house with full of beautiful clothes. And for some of us, we can't live without our handphones and our tablets. But seriously, all of us have possessions much more than what we need to live on and find it difficult to deny ourselves and give up this stuff that we have lauded, we have gathered all these years. We really need to break free and let go of the stuff that hinders our personal close walk with the Lord. Do we possess those stuff? Or do those stuff possess us? Who's the master anyway? But don't get Jesus wrong. He was not tough on the young man. And he was not biased
against either the poor or the rich. Our Lord is not saying that the poor are somehow naturally spiritual and men and people of faith. Nor is Jesus insinuating that the rich are automatically materialistic, selfish, and sinful. I know of many rich people who are not controlled by their wealth. They love their Lord dearly. They serve Him faithfully in their churches and give generously to God's cause. But the real, honest truth is that people with wealth and presumably power and influence that goes with it are more inclined to trust in those things rather than to put their trust wholly on the Lord. Jesus said, it is difficult for the rich to get into the kingdom of God because the rich, with most of their basic physical needs met, often become self-reliant, self-sufficient. I have no need for God. Sadly, their abundance has become their deficiency. The rich young ruler found it difficult to give away all that he had because his possession, his wealth, hold fast to him, and he cannot free himself to follow Jesus. Amazed at Jesus' word, the disciples said, who then can be saved? If those who are successful in life cannot make it, then who can? But the answer to this is appallingly simple. Jesus looked at the disciples' amazement and said, with men this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Only our God saves. In this morning New Testament reading from Romans chapter 8 verses 10 to 14, Paul tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. To live in and to be guided by the Spirit of God is one of the privileges of the believer, who by virtue of their relationship with the Father enjoys. The indwelling Spirit bears witness that we belong to God. And if you have sincerely trusted in God for your salvation and acknowledge Him as Lord, then the Holy Spirit is within you and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to you, and you are children of God, and children inherits what the Father imparts, eternal life. The young man was asking for something that a family member is entitled to, but with special privileges comes responsibility. Paul said, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it, for if we live according to the flesh, we die. But by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Dear brothers and sisters, as children of God and being in Christ, Paul tells us that we have to put to death. that we have an obligation to live in the Spirit. And if we submit to the Spirit, Paul says, we have to mortify, we have to put to death and deny ourselves of the stuff that chains us and hinders us from following Jesus wholeheartedly. However, we cannot free ourselves from this all-consuming desire of the flesh along with the worldly materialistic distraction of this world and possessions by our own human strength. We simply can't do it. The rich young ruler has got it all wrong when he said, What must I do to inherit eternal life? He thought he could earn. He could do something to inherit eternal life. Maybe by vigorously keeping the law. Brothers and sisters in Christ, victory over flesh, triumph over our mortal bodies can only come from the indwelling Spirit of God that transforms us. And Paul says that this Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And truly, this Spirit can transform us. So in this season of Lent, let us do some self-examination, some self-searching. What are the glittering distractions in our lives that prevent us from being a faithful follower of Jesus? Could it be our work? Our climb up the corporate ladder? Could it be our commitments? Could it be our children? Is there something in the possessions that we are incredibly attached to that we cannot break free and find it difficult to part with it? Or do we feel that we are self-sufficient, self-reliant, that we have no need of God? Or do we put our faith in our wisdom, in our wealth, in our social standing, in our appointments? If you are financially blessed, are you giving your money to bless others? Jesus made no attempt to disguise and hide the cost of discipleship. In fact, our Lord reinforced it with a sobering reminder that those who forsake everything to follow Him by saying in verses 29 and 30, "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has given up, who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Home, brother, sister, mother, children, fields. But along with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life." The world hates God. The world cannot accept Jesus. So His disciples will be persecuted. Jesus emphasized persecutions along with the reward to make sure that we, His follower, do not selfishly follow Him only for the rewards. But whatever it costs to be Christ's disciples in terms of persecutions, and denying ourselves of the things that hinder us, all this is far outweighed by the gain of eternal life in the age to come. This morning, like the rich young ruler, the Lord loves you. And He calls you to return to Him in repentance by putting to death the things that are holding on to you and preventing you from turning your whole life to Him. Will you be like the rich young ruler who turned and walked away sorrowfully because of the lure and the distraction of worldly wealth and desire is too strong? Jesus knew the young rich ruler needed to do what he needed to do. And that was why He said, go sell everything and share it with the poor. But Jesus did not ask Zacchaeus, the rich tax collector, to sell his land and house and give it to the poor. Nor did our Lord ask Nicodemus, a rich member of the Jewish ruling council who came to Him at night to sell his possessions and to follow Him. So don't worry. Jesus is not asking you to sell your house and live in on the streets and empty your bank account to follow Him. Jesus wants your full attention. He wants your total commitments. God wants you to love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jesus knows the one thing you lack. And you know the things and the stuff that you need to let go, that you need to deny, that you need to put to death in order to follow Christ faithfully. Difficult? Impossible? Jesus said to His disciple, and He's saying to you today, with men, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, everything is possible. Will you respond to Jesus? Jesus said, come, follow Me. So let us deny ourselves. Let us give up those things that have a stranglehold on us. And let us come to the Lord to love Him with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and mercy. You have spoken through Your word, and we have listened. Help us to let go of the things that hold fast to us and hinder us to follow You faithfully and wholeheartedly. For Jesus, You have assured us that it is in letting go, it is in denying ourselves that we find eternal life. Let Your word be embedded in our hearts, and through Your Holy Spirit, let us not only be hearer of Your word, but be doer of Your word as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.